For WFHB in Bloomington, this is Hereabouts,
a collaboration with the IU Asian Culture Center.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Hereabouts episode. My name is Kevin Fan, and I am interviewing Ushrin Biju and Jenny Yang about their lives and what moments have been the most defining in making them the person they are today. So, could you guys introduce yourselves?
Hi. Like Kevin introduced me, my name is Ushrin Biju, and I'm a senior student here at IU Bloomington. And, yeah.
Hi, my name is Jenny, and I am a senior studying biology here at IU Bloomington.
So, well, the year just wrapped up, so could you guys talk about some defining moments for 2019?
Yeah, definitely some of the biggest highlights this year has been, one, turning a senior, wrapping up my last year here at IU Bloomington after 4 very long years, and also getting accepted into IU School of Medicine this year, which is a really great way to finish off the year.
Yeah, I think 2019 has been really busy for me just because it's been really full of medical school stuff, like taking the MCAT, doing applications, and applying, getting accepted. So that's definitely defining for 2019, as well as turning 21, because I'm the youngest in my friend group. So that was a big moment for me.
Well, congratulations to both of you. It's really exciting that both of you guys got into medical school. So I guess really into medical school, did you feel any pressure being Asian American to pursue a career within the medical field?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of my family members are physicians, and also my name even actually comes from a Hindu god of medicine. So yeah, pretty much since I was young, there's a lot of incentive for my parents to push me towards medicine. And initially I kind of resisted towards that, but then as I grew older, I kind of more and more embraced it as I got to learn more about the medical field and what I really wanted as an individual.
For me, it wasn't, just because I wasn't influenced or pushed in any way to have to go into the medical field. It was more self-interest and different life experiences that made me feel like it was the right career for me.
Well, it sounds like you guys are going to be very successful in your individual careers. As for 2020, do you guys have any goals for the new year?
I don't know. Just trying to be a lot healthier, working out, having more of a work-life balance, and just managing my time well.
I feel like for me, just because college has been a lot about getting into medical school, I want to experience life more, travel more, and try to get in a bunch of different things I want to do before I get bogged down with a lot of work.
Yeah, seniors, time to de-stress. We're all going on our individual paths, so it's very exciting to hear that both of you are all, have some great goals for 2020. So Jenny, as you mentioned, you want to travel a little bit. Do you plan on taking a gap year?
No, I don't plan on taking a gap year. I kind of wanted to go straight into medical school, but this summer I'm not planning on doing anything except traveling and meeting family and stuff like that.
Where are you going to meet your family, Jenny, when you go travel?
I'm Chinese, so I'm definitely going to go back to China and spend time with my family on the mom's side, but also I've never met my family on my dad's side, so I'm going to go do that, which I'm really excited for. And then I hope to probably hit some other spots in Asia, like Japan and Korea and Singapore.
Yeah, definitely. I also plan on traveling during the summer and also visiting my family from India, and maybe even heading up to Korea from there to visit some friends there.
Well, I guess before you go to medical school, do you guys have any ideas what you want to specialize in?
It's kind of hard to say what you want to specialize in just because we haven't been exposed to all of the different professions yet. But I think as of right now, I want to do pediatrics because I really like kids and I work in the child development lab, so I have experience just interacting with children, which is really cool. I think that's what I'm leaning towards, but definitely not sure what I'm going to do in the future specifically.
Yeah, like Jenny mentioned, there's a lot of uncertainty right now at this point in our careers on what we want to do and as a physician and specialize. But right now I'm leaning towards mainly oncology and neurology. Both of them, they just really appeal to me because there's a strong focus on building a relationship with your patients. As well as with oncology, dealing with cancer patients can be an extremely difficult field to work with. And I just personally feel like I'm a very optimistic person, so I feel like I'd work really well in that kind of field. And also with neurology, I am a neuroscience major here at IU, so that has always been something that's been an interest with me, especially specializing in neurodegenerative diseases.
Well, thank you, Ashwin and Jenny, for letting me interview you. And make sure to tune in next Wednesday for the next Hereabouts episode.
Stay tuned for more.
Hi, thank you for tuning into today's episode, Hereabouts. I am Catherine Gerd. Today I'm interviewing Dani Raymond about her life story. Dani, could you please introduce yourself a little bit?
My name is Dani Raymond. I have lived in Bloomington for 2.5 years. I've got a husband who works in Jacobs School of Music and 2 little girls, a 4.5-year-old and a little one who's just about 2.
Dani, what do you think, what have been the most defining moments in your life?
I think some of my most defining moments that are memorable and have shaped my adulthood likely started at the end of high school and going into college, particularly when I made the transition from high school into college. I really had a lot of fear and anxiety about just a lot of things, and some things that really mattered and lots of things that really didn't. And kind of going to school and moving away from my family for the first time and spending time with new people and meeting new friends and becoming parts of new organizations gave me a lot of new perspective that really shifted what I thought was really, really important and taught me a lot of what actually was important and what was worth feeling lots of pressure or stress over. So I think the transition from my small town high school into like a larger university setting was one really major defining moment for me. I think another one was when I was about to be a junior in college. So 2 years into being a music education major, I was feeling really unsure that I wanted to be a music teacher. I thought I wanted to still be a teacher, but it wasn't music that I was feeling particularly passionate about. And if you teach music, I felt you should be really passionate about it and your kids should know how much you love doing it. And I just wasn't really feeling that way. And I remember going to my advisor at the time and like having this whole crying session in his office where I was like snotty and teary and sad and was just spilling my guts. And he told me, I think you know what you need to do, but you're just too afraid to do it. And then I wept some more. And then I changed my major as a junior in college. But that was just a really defining moment of realizing like, it is better to start over in something you really, really love than to continue in something that was not something you really, really loved just so that you could finish and be done with it.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. So that was your college.
That was college.
Okay.
And then I think if I were to pick like a third big defining moment, that would be the decisions around marrying my husband, which is clearly a life-changing moment. But part of marrying my husband meant that I was also going to make a big jump from living in Wisconsin, which is not at all like New York City, which is where we were headed. And I just think anybody who's ever spent time in a bigger city knows that living in a really big city changes you, and it makes you realize like what space like how space is just so important and then becomes really expensive, and how nice it is to own a car and to be able to get yourself from point A to point B, and you know, the importance of having friends who are basically like family, because when you live far away from your actual family, you have to develop really strong relationships or you live a lot of your life very lonely.
Yeah, wow. So how long were you in New York before moving to Bloomington?
My husband and I lived there for 7 years. So all of my adult life.
Oh, wow. Okay. How about in Bloomington? Did you have any defining moments?
Well, moving to Bloomington was a pretty defining moment. We were planning on going from New York City to another smaller city in Minneapolis. And so it was a pretty defining moment when we realized, like, nope, our trajectory is actually bringing us here to Bloomington, which is clearly nothing like New York City. So I think that was just a really big and really sweet shift for our family. I think New York was a really, really, really great thing for the time of our lives we were in. And then just the defining point of realizing, like, Bloomington, Indiana, here we come, was a big one.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us today, Dani?
I'm really glad to be in Bloomington, for the record. I think that when people hear we've moved from New York, they're like, oh, wow, interesting, why? But I'm so glad to be here. I think when we tell people Indiana, they get a little skeptical. But I think this has just been a really, really sweet, sweet place to be.
That's great to hear. I think Bloomington is very happy to have you and your husband, and you have family,
yes,
to be here.
Thanks,
Kat. Thank you.
This is Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, broadcasted on WFHB. We air every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Stay tuned for some more. And we're back from our break. Just a reminder, this is Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, broadcasted on WFHB. We air every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Hereabout episode. My name is Anna Song, and I am interviewing Abby Mattson about her year and what has been her most defining moments in this 2019 year, and what are some of her aspirations for this new coming year. So, what were some of the key moments for you in 2019?
Some of the key moments for me was there was a lot of changes going on. I had to adapt a lot more because it's my first year living off of campus and having to adjust to living in an apartment with roommates where you're all in the same building and kind of have to share living spaces. Learning how to commute off campus, because last year it was very easy to just go and walk to your classes or something like that, or go get food, but now you have to have more responsibilities with grocery shopping, and then you're paying for rent and utilities, communicating with your roommates. And so overall, it's just been a lot of learning and adapting, and then with classes too, being a junior, it's kind of hard. They always say junior year is your hardest year, and I definitely think that's true, just because the class materials are harder. And I took on a new certificate program in journalism. I'm an English major, but now I'm doing journalism certificate. So I'm taking that on top of my other English classes. So, yeah.
So when the year began, did you have any resolutions that you wanted to achieve?
Yeah, I think some of the resolutions that I wanted to achieve was to be more organized, kind of just have more of a set plan for this year, because I did have to adapt and change a lot of things, so I knew I had to be more on top of my game than usual. And I don't know, I'm generally not that great at being organized. I just kind of go with the flow type of person. I think I kind of did because I definitely used my planner more than I did last year. That's kind of how I test to see how organized I'm being, is how often I use my planner and how often I'm actually looking at it and doing my tasks based off of that. Normally, I just do things off of memory, and that hasn't really served me well because you forget a lot of little things and you just serve things off of memory. So in terms of like keeping organized and what I have to do, I think, at least in the beginning of this year, I've done pretty well, especially once school started. That's when I had to really gear up for that. Over summer, it wasn't too much going on, so I didn't really have much to organize for except for like work. But now that the year's coming to a close and finals are coming up, it's definitely getting a little bit more sporadic with organization. So mm-hmm. I just know I have finals on this day, I have projects due this day. All the other little assignments, I'm just, hopefully I get to them. So kind of just organized, like, it's getting more spread toward the end. But I think overall, in general, especially just based off the beginning of the semester, I've been more organized than normal.
Do you have any new aspirations you want to make for this new coming year?
Yeah, I think for this new coming year, I just really want to step out of my comfort zone. In terms, like, I guess socially and just interacting with more professors and making more connections. I tend to be pretty anxious about talking to professors and networking and stuff like that. But I know since I'm a junior, that stuff's really important for getting a job out of once you graduate. So that's definitely a goal and aspiration I have, is to network and be more sociable. So then I have those people to reference back to later. And also, they're just like really good, like, teaching tools, because they're willing to help you get where you need to go, whether it's just for going where you want to go for class and getting your grades better, or just teaching you stuff about life in general. I have an internship right now where I'm learning a lot just about marketing and stuff like that, which I'm kind of finding an interest in, and so also furthering that interest with other internships and continuing that one. So yeah, just kind of networking that way and just really putting myself out there, which is something I'm really not used to doing. And hopefully it leads to something in the future.
Brilliant. So since this is a new year, are there any traditions that you traditionally keep?
Yeah, so for New Year's, particularly New Year's Eve, me and my family will always have like a little get together where it's normally just us. It's pretty small, but we'll always like make food, like pig in a blanket. That's always something we have for some reason. Or we'll put something on TV, watch a movie or something. But this year, I'm actually going to a New Year's Eve party, which I normally don't do. It's in Champaign, Illinois. And I'm going with my church group, and it's going to be really, really cool. I think I'm going to be spending the night over there, and it's just going to be dancing, food, kind of just stuff like that. But normally, it's just spending time with my family and celebrating the new year, even if it's just something as small as getting together, eating food, and watching a movie together. But yeah, this is the time for changes, so might as well start to switch it up now.
Well, you're starting early.
Yeah.
Starting right when the new year begins.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, broadcasted on WFHB.
Hi, this is Che from Hereabouts, and today I'm joined by our very own Elise. Hey, Elise.
Hi, Che.
How's your week been so far?
It's been good. How's yours?
Busy. So, for the audience members who don't know yet, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. So I grew up in Valparaiso, Indiana. It's about an hour from Chicago. My dad is a Korean immigrant. He came here when I was 2, and then my mom has lived in the States her whole life and several years in Korea also. I have 2 younger sisters, a couple dogs, my major is biology, and my minor is informatics.
So being the eldest, was there always some form of pressure that you had to deal with, like being the leading example in the family?
Sure, yeah. My dad always expected me to be a doctor growing up. That has recently changed, so that's going to be a fun family conversation, but definitely the pre-med route was expected of me, along with other things, sports, grades. They were always just really important to our family dynamic.
So with that in mind, do you have like a life mantra that you go by, like, and where does it derive from?
I would say after watching my parents, especially my dad, who's an immigrant, just work really hard his whole life, especially in America, it's really just to continue working hard and always do your best.
And where does that derive from?
Watching my dad work hard. You know, he's achieved the American dream. I really admired that about him growing up. So I would say that's where it came from.
Very interesting. So with an immigrant father and a mother who's lived here for the majority of her life, how did that dynamic work growing up? Was it like a good cop, bad cop routine?
I would say that a little bit for sure. My dad is a very conservative, culturally Korean man. Even though he's lived in the States for a large part of his life at this point, he still is very culturally Korean, I would say. And my mom is definitely more open to certain things. She let me try, you know, a lot of different clubs. We got to try a lot of new experiences, but my dad is definitely more conservative and wants to stick with tradition.
What do you relate with more?
I would say it's half and half. I do think that there's a lot of aspects of Korean culture that are admirable and that I respect a lot. You know, a lot of family dynamics are really important to Korean culture, obviously. And then with American culture, there's a lot more focus on being independent and that sort of thing. So I think I can take from both, and that's created a good combination for my life.
So those are like very opposite sides of the spectrum. And have you found like the right balance yet in your life, or would you say you're still working towards that?
I would say I'm still working towards that. It's definitely a pretty big difference, especially being like biracial and from a majority Caucasian town. Growing up, it was like a big focus on my Korean culture, actually, instead of like the Caucasian side, just because that's what I was already surrounded with and I was just interested in the Korean culture. Chicago is close by, so we could go up to Koreatown pretty frequently and eat the food there. So it was definitely always something unique and that I wanted to explore more, and I'm still trying to find that balance between American and Korean culture for sure.
Do you ever see yourself living in Korea ever?
I could definitely live there for a couple of years. My Korean family is very close to me. I'm the eldest of my dad's children, and my dad is the only son of the family, so he's, you know, my grandparents' favorite. I'm my grandparents' favorite, so they really keep me close and they want to see me very often. So I could definitely live there for a couple of years.
Wow, that's really interesting. So to round everything off, if there's one last question that I want to ask is, if you could recount one memory again, what would it be?
I would say my happiest memory is when I was with all my sisters and my dad and we were on the beach in Korea and we were all eating ice cream together and we were just like talking about like what we wanted in the future. My sister's like, I don't know, she wanted to be like an orthodontist at like 4. That was just, she's just really cute. Like all of her, like, I don't know, just I really appreciate family time. So that was just a really nice moment for me.
Well, with that being said, Elise, thank you so much for coming. That was Elise, and this is Che signing out. Thanks, Elise.
And we're back from our break. Just a reminder, this is Hereabouts.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Hereabouts episode. My name is Ruby Devenish, and I'm interviewing Hillary Presti Threet about their life and what moments have been the most defining in making them the person they are today.
Hi, my name is Hillary. I am a current master's student over at IU. I've lived in Bloomington and was born here my entire life. I did leave temporarily for my undergraduate, and I'm super passionate about animals.
So Hillary, who is the most influential person in your life?
Okay, so there's a lot of influential people, all of them beautiful women, all of them very strong mentally and emotionally, I would say, that have been like huge, like influential people to me. So my current like motivational person, her name is Dr. Karen Bush. She works over at IU. She has done many accomplishments in her life. For example, she was the first woman to win this like achievement award in the science field, and she's contributed a lot, and I get to work in her lab. We're looking at ant mechanisms in antibiotic resistant bacteria, and as you can tell, this is a huge thing that's being looked into like across the world. Like everyone's like, oh, how do we attack these bacteria that are resistant to antibiotics, you know, the super bug that you always hear about. And she's a power woman, honestly. She like does it all. She does consulting, she does lab work, she's offered us like very helpful advice and like a lot of references as far as like how we can become better and more scientifically accurate scientists. I'm still working on trying to
be an accurate scientist.
So Hillary, how does your family life or where you grew up affect your view on the world today?
So both my parents are very hardworking people. My dad was a fireman. My mom is a librarian because she's still currently working. My dad just recently retired, and even still, he's still finding ways to busy his schedule, learning new traits and hobbies like pickleballing. Don't ask me what that is. All I know is it's something with a ball. There's no pickles involved. But yeah, I think that like hard work integrity kind of stuck with me. Growing up in Bloomington, it's a very, compared to Indiana, it's a very diverse place compared to Indiana. And I am pretty thankful for that, because otherwise I probably would not be the person that I am today had it not been so inclusive to certain groups. For the most part, Bloomington is a lot more progressive than compared to other places, like an hour north of here.
So what's a comparison you can make between Bloomington and another location in Indiana?
We actually have people like Neil deGrasse visit us, and I'm happy about that.
What has been your experience within Bloomington in comparison to another location in Indiana?
I would say that Bloomington does encourage more conversations that need to be had as far as how do we address certain issues and being aware of issues that may affect certain groups of people more so than others, and that it's okay to acknowledge these, but there's definitely more spaces available to talk about such things.
So what has been your experience?
My experience?
Yes.
Well, at the age of 5, I found out I was Black, so that's something. Like, literally reading a book, and this girl goes like, look at that Black girl, and I'm like, what? And then the mom was like, shush, shush. It's like, okay. But I'd say I definitely grew up with a lot of awareness of where I am as far as Bloomington. For better or for worse, I can definitely say that I am pretty happy of the experience that I've had in Bloomington. I was in Muncie for a while. I did leave Bloomington during my undergraduate, and I got really severe depression being up there. That's probably more true of Indiana, the more truer sense of Indiana. A lot of people think that they can just say the N-word whenever they want, and they're not Black. They're 100% white. They recognize they are white, and no one's singing a song or trying to quote a song. They just like, yeah, I can say the N-bomb whenever I want. And I'm like, I don't feel comfortable with that, but okay. I can't really talk against that because I am the only Black person in class for majority of my classes. So being singled out in the wrong way, but yeah.
Thank you for coming here today and speaking with me.
Thank you for having me, Miss Ruby. It's been a delight.
Do you have any final remarks?
I just want to say that always stay persistent, make up backup plans, believe in yourself, mentor someone else, because you never know who really needs it, and just be kind to other people.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, broadcasted on WFHB. Again, we air every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. See you next week. You've been listening to Hereabouts with the IU Asian Culture Center, broadcast by WFHB in Bloomington. Our theme music is by Eternal Youth. Tune in to Hereabouts every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m.